It's good to be back in Bryan, Ohio. Amen. Back home in the country that I grew up in. We're going to turn to Revelation chapter 3. Since I was here the last time, you have graciously taken us on for support in our ministry. And Shirley and I want to say a big thank you. When that happens, we know that God can look ahead and see needs that we're going to have. And boy, this time it has happened. We've blown a transmission, turbos, struts, new tires. We just found out our air conditioner went out. But God takes care of us, doesn't he? We just came from a meeting in New Jersey where it was just a one-day meeting, but a Nigerian man, probably about 55, came forward, an Indonesian lady, probably about 40, 45, came forward, and both of them wanted to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. The Nigerian man came up to me afterward, and he said, "I received Christ today as my Savior, and I don't want anybody in my family to go to hell." And I thought, praise God, that we all ought to have that desire for our family, and we ought to have that desire to want to receive Christ as Savior. We went to a church in Maryland. I preached on giants, and this lady, probably about 75, 80 years old, lives alone. Her rent just went up, and a number of other expenses, utilities went up. You know how it goes. And she wrote me a note that said, "I am dealing with it as a giant. I am victorious over it before I see how God is going to meet my need." And she said, before that message, I wouldn't have looked at it like that. But she said, I have the joy and the victory, and I'm watching how God's going to supply. That's encouraging, isn't it? And then I'll tell you about one more. In Delaware, I was preaching a two-day conference, family conference. And on Saturday, I had taught on God's plan for marriage. And God saw that it wasn't good for a man to be alone, so he created a woman. And I was teaching and waxing eloquent about that. And the next day, I got this little card and a note in it from the probably about a 10-year-old daughter of the pastor, and she said, "I didn't understand everything that you said before you said it, but now I understand that I was always going to live with my parents, but I will get married." I've got that card on my desk. And it just cheers my heart every time I think about her innocence and that note. So our ministry goes on. We've had about 6 meetings, maybe more this year, and we have 7 between now and July 4th. And so we continue to go on. Again, thank you for your prayers, your support, every thought that you have. You're praying over our prayer letters. And we just thank God for your pastor and his wife. And we have just, like he said, grown in a friendship, and we're grateful for it. We're in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. And I can't forget Bud and Melinda. They introduced us to your church. And I have visited your church, I think, when it was back uptown. Were you back uptown at the time? Okay, I got the right church. But then I visited here a couple of other times, so we're very, very glad to be with you. Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." You know, we're all familiar with deadlines and expiration dates. We live by that. We have those kinds of things. So Shirley and I traveled the whole United States, as you know, And I preach revivals and family conferences, Bible conferences, mission conferences, prophecy conferences, all-day meetings. One time we were out in Kingman, Arizona. Anybody ever been to Kingman? Oh, a few, about maybe a half a dozen or more. I went up to the Staples office because I had to get a bunch of stuff. And I had an $18 coupon, and I was so proud of myself. We had looked for Staples all along out there, and they're few and far between, but we found this one. I went up. I had all my treasures I was buying. I got up to the counter, and the clerk informed me that my $18 coupon, it expired, you guessed it, and I was too late for the offer. I'm still upset about that today, preacher. I lost that $18. I have to book motels, hotels, all along the way in our travels. As you can imagine, last year we stayed 107 nights along the way. And usually I shop for the best price, and I always check the bed bug registry. And I check the Crime Watch website to make sure I'm not taking Shirley into a dangerous area. But on one occasion, I had a great price for a room. And I took time to check other, you know, sites, other hotels in the area. And when I came back to book the one that I had found, the room and the rate, they were gone. I waited too long. I had to pay a much higher price. I missed the opportunity. I missed the deadline for getting that room. The Bible pictures Jesus Christ standing at the door and knocking in this passage, in this verse. I believe he's knocking at several doors this morning, trying to get in, wanting to get in, willing to come in. He's made an offer to anyone to hear his voice and open the door, and he promised that he would enter in. It would be a privilege to open your heart, your door, to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, wouldn't it? That would be a privilege. But what a sad day it will be after some have refused to open the door to him when the knocking stops, when there's no more knock. It'll be too late. His offer will have passed its expiration date. Some will have squandered their opportunity to let him in. This morning, I want to preach. I want you to consider three doors with me as I preach on when the knocking one day will stop. Let's pray together. Our dear, kind Heavenly Father, we thank you that you offer us. The offer that you make us is just phenomenal. We're grateful to you, Lord. Thank you for the price paid on Calvary. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your desire for us after we're saved to walk and talk with you. Oh, God, this is a wonderful life. Who wouldn't want this kind of life? I pray in Jesus' name, as you knock today, I pray that someone will open the door. Have your way in this service. We submit ourselves to you in the fear of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our text, we realize that there may come a day when Christ stops knocking on the door of a church. The primary application of this principle in our text is the local church. In chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, as you know, it deals with the seven churches of Asia Minor. And all over America today, we see old churches, giant cemeteries and buildings, but only a handful of folks still meeting. But Christ has long since quit knocking on their door. And why is that? Why has he quit knocking on the door of a church? Because many churches today function as social clubs. We're not a social club. We're the body of Christ. We're the family of God. Amen. And so, and in these social clubs, Christ's knock is rarely heard. It's all about everything else but Jesus. You may ask, well, when does Christ quit knocking at the door of a church? Well, it's first of all, when a preacher quits preaching God's word. Christ quits knocking when the preacher and the church start watering down the message. Now, that doesn't happen here, thank God. But that does happen all over America in churches today. He quits knocking when they seek pastors who will compromise and who will not preach on the tougher topics, who will bypass those things. We're supposed to preach the full counsel of God. Amen. And so we once visited a family. Shirley and I went out, and we were talking to this lady, and she said that her and her husband attended this church in our area, and they had just gotten a new pastor. And she said that he gave the gospel in that message, and both of them, and he gave an invitation, and both of them came forward and received Christ as their Savior. She had a clear testimony that they got saved. But she said, and then something happened. The leaders in the church, who, by the way, can bring pressure and bring to bear on a pastor sometimes. Again, thank God it doesn't happen here like that, but in this church, the leaders didn't want that gospel presented as forthrightly as it was and didn't want an invitation. That was an embarrassment to them, and they ousted that pastor, and they didn't want the truth of God's word preached, and Christ quit knocking on the door of that church. It wasn't long, and that church closed. It's sad but true that some would rather have their ears tantalized than their toes stepped upon. Preachers are commissioned to preach the Bible. Amen. Some churches want a storyteller. They want an entertainer or a comedian or a non-offensive, touchy-feely message. That's what they want. Or some want a psychology lecture with some intellectual jargon that will impress everyone. And the knocking stops in the church because the preacher won't declare, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. Well, when does Christ quit knocking on a church's door? When the church doesn't want to separate from the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. They find any preaching on standards distasteful. All talk of worldliness and carnality falls on deaf ears. Messages on denying the flesh go over their heads, even though it's taught in the Bible. This is taught in the Bible, and therefore we need to hear it and do it. They can't, they have, and they want their music and their clothing and their friends and their language without any regard to what God says, and we can't do that way. We have to live the Christian life according to what God says in His Word. Amen. Amen. If that describes you, you're on dangerous ground. And if so, Christ knocking at your church's door is growing fainter without you knowing it. When does Christ quit knocking at a church's door? It's when we lose our vision and burden for the lost. We exist to spread the good news that Jesus came to save souls. Amen. And that's one great reason why we exist. When our concern, however, is for social needs, and that becomes greater than spiritual needs, we're losing our burden for what Christ came to do and what He wants us to be involved in. When prayer requests in prayer meeting are more for physical needs than for spiritual needs, we're getting off and our vision is getting impaired. When we don't have time to give the gospel or to go out or to invite our neighbor or coworker, the knocking is becoming fainter you see. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. When we can talk and tweet and post and surf for hours, but we have a hard time finding 5 minutes to pray, the knocking is becoming fainter. To the church at Pergamos, Christ said in chapter 2, verse 16, repent or else. There's the time constriction. There's the deadline or expiration, or else. I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Repent or else. Christ is serious as he deals with a church. There's an or else. And there's a deadline, and Christ's knocking is about to end. Oh, it'd be a terrible day if the knocking ends at a church. Now listen, you have a good church. You got to remember that every church just about that's fallen apart was a good church one time. The devil doesn't want this church in this community. You believe that? I believe it. You're a flaming witness for him that he doesn't want this church. We can't allow little schisms and factions and divisions to allow to get in our heart and in our speech and say whatever we want to say to hurt each other, or the knocking will stop. And Christ wants to do a great work. Keep walking with God. Keep talking to God. Keep caring for one another and caring for the lost and loving your pastor. Turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Secondly, it's a dark day when Christ stops knocking on the door of a Christian, an individual. Our text in Revelation 3:20 says, if any man open the door. That's any Christian in the church can open the door to Christ. Any person in the church can open the door to Christ. In Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 2, I want you to follow along as I read. We'll read a couple of verses here, but we'll start with one. 5:2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that, oh, here it is, knocketh. See that? Saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Chapter 5 and verse 2, the bridegroom knocks on the bride's door. Well, he wants to see her. He wants to spend time with her. She hesitates, however, and she waits, and she thinks about it a little longer, and she makes excuses. And finally, in verse 6, she says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. What a sad day when the lover of our soul quits knocking on our heart's door. You say, well, preacher, what is Christ knocking on the Christian's door for? What is it that he's trying to get our attention about? Well, first off, he's knocking for lordship. He's your Savior. He wants you to surrender all to him. See that you exist for the glory of God and make your decisions based on his lordship. He wants to be first in your life, above your family and friends and job and house and hobbies and bank account and ambitions and favorite sports team, and above your investments and your recreation, and on we could go. He wants to be first. He deserves to be first. He wants you to acknowledge his lordship by your obedience and your discipline and your giving. Did you know that tithing is one of the clearest expressions of his lordship in our lives? 10%, the first 10% is his. And in the New Testament, we're able to give grace giving above the 10%. What a privilege we have to store up treasures in heaven. God makes that possible, the bank of heaven. Jesus Christ is weary with sins, our sins, as people who claim his name. I'm a Christian. Well, then you ought to quit cussing. Amen. That's good preaching right there on a Sunday morning. Amen. You don't have any business cussing. You're not representing the Lord well, though you call his name as Christian. You need to curb your tongue. Drinking. That should not be named among us, the drinking of alcohol, that is, wine. Smoking. Pornography. Gambling, stealing, gossiping, strife, contention, immorality, uncommitted living. These things do not reflect the name that we attach to ourselves as being a Christian. And Christ wants us to clean up our act. In Psalm 106, please. Psalm 106. He's calling on us for lordship. When we're guilty of sin, he's not knocking. He's pounding, trying to get our attention. Son, daughter, I don't want you to be sinning. I don't want you to be doing things that you know that I'm not pleased with. I want you to repent, confess that thing. And when he's knocking, that's conviction. His Holy Spirit is convicting us to get that thing made right. His knocking reminds us to confess and forsake. But when we fail to open the door, his knock becomes softer. Barely heard until he gives us our way and leaves us alone. The psalmist records what he did with Israel in Psalm 106, verse 15. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. I don't want that leanness. How about you? I don't want a leanness in my soul. I want God to want to enrich me, make me stronger in my soul. And that comes from obedience and lordship. Brethren, don't cover your sin, secret sin, besetting sin. Confess it. Amen. Be honest before God. Come clean. Throw open the door and welcome him to come in and cleanse you and rededicate your life to him. He deserves it. Let him give you a fresh start today. Thank God that we can do that. That's called revival. Amen. Christian, picture yourself standing at your heart's door, him standing at your heart's door and knocking for the discipline of lordship to return. But the woman in the Song of Solomon pondered it as he knocked. She pondered it. She thought about it, made excuses, hesitated. She was tuned into everything else in her life. And by the time she arose to answer the door, he was gone. And that was the day the knocking stopped. Don't let that happen to you. If you still feel the tugging at your heart's door, at the knock of lordship, however faint it is, respond today. Arise at the end of this service and say, I'm getting back to my close walk with God. I'm not going to live in this wicked day half-hearted. I'm going to give it all to him. Amen. Another door that Christ knocks on in the Christian's life is for forgiveness. God's nature is long-suffering, merciful, and forgiving. If you refuse to forgive someone else, or you've refused to ask for forgiveness when you are the wrong one and you know it, you are refusing to open the door to Christ. Remember that Christ was still forgiving his murderers as he was mistreated and dying on the cross. You remember that? Do you remember that Stephen was still seeking forgiveness for his murderers as they pelted him with stones? Remember that? And so he breathed his last breath, but in his last breaths, he was forgiving those who were persecuting him. And God's been patient with you and me. Think of where we've been and think of where we are. He's been patient as we have made all of our excuses of why we couldn't forgive or ask for forgiveness in situations in our lives. In 1980, I know it dates me. I know it. What was it, 45 years ago? Two men cheated me out of hundreds of dollars in the same year. I was in the ministry. We didn't have much, and that's an understatement, but I had worked for these two men, and they combined, they probably owed me $600-$700. And I promised Shirley, now when we get that, we're going to buy a couch. Remember that, honey? And it'd be our first couch new that we bought, but I promised her. And they didn't. And I got upset with them. I harbored that thing in my heart. I did all the wrong things. For months, that festered in my soul. And I got bitter. And I got rotten in my spirit some days. Some, not every day, but some days. I just thought, those dirty rot. These were brethren. And I got a bad spirit. You ever do something like that? Well, I was in a service, and God prompted me. That is, he knocked on my heart's door. Said, son, you need to get rid of this. You need to surrender this. And I really believe if I hadn't done that, my ministry wouldn't be what it is today. You've got to obey when he speaks. When he knocks, you've got to open the door. And that night, I released that bitterness. Whew! I felt so good when it was over. Well, what about those guys? I don't know. God will take care of it. Amen? Amen. And you know what? I've survived. And financially, I've survived. So, God, we just have to trust things to God. I could go on with illustration after illustration. Christ is knocking on your door. If he's knocking on your door to forgive, you need to throw open that door today and say, okay, God, I will. If he's knocking on your door to ask for forgiveness from someone, you need to follow through and obey him. Open the door today. Day when the knocking stops. Another door that he knocks on for the Christian is using his gifts for the glory of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, would you go there with me, please? 1 Timothy 4. Paul told Pastor Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. And he goes on from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, the Holy Spirit gives to every believer gifts and abilities. That is, if you're a believer in Christ and you're here today, you have gifts, you have abilities and talents that you can use for the Lord in the fellowship of believers. But I know singers that won't sing. I know musicians that won't use that talent for the Lord. I know teachers that won't teach. In churches, skilled men that won't work on the building or the property because there's no money in it for them. It's not about the money. We're laying up treasures in heaven. Christ Church has a need. I want to be a part of helping out. Amen. I used to go to work night. Now, I can't build. I'm not much good to them. But I found some things I could do just to be a help. You know what I'm saying? And we ought to be able to do that. Cooks. I've known cooks that won't lend a hand to cook when there's a banquet. I know cleaners that won't lend a hand to clean or volunteer. I know IT guys that won't help with the sound and the media. They could, but they won't. He's given you a talent, ability, gifts to use for His glory. Amen. And so if you're unwilling to use them for His glory, then Christ is about to quit knocking on your heart's door, saying, daughter, I want you to use your talent for the Lord. And you won't open the door. He's about to stop knocking and knock on somebody else's door and give them your blessing and your reward. But He doesn't want to do that. He wants to bless you. He wants to reward you. And that means you need to open the door and let Him do it and use your talent and ability. I don't know if I would be very good. Listen, God will let you know and let the preacher know. Volunteer. Tell the preacher, what is there that can't you see 100 people knocking on his door? And say, preacher, where can I help? I want to be a blessing to the church in some way. Amen. That makes every preacher rejoice. Anyway, I met Shirley's great uncle, Vernon. He was 75 years old. And by the way, that's looking younger and younger. But he was 75 years old, and I was a teenager. And we were at, I think, a reunion of some sort when we were dating. And he told me that he had been called to preach, but he never got around to it. And it was sad. He told me in tears as we sat there. I never met him again, but I met him that day. And he said he kept putting it off and putting it off. And in his words, he said, and now it's too late. And he was right. It was too late. What was he saying? He was saying the knocking stopped to answer God's call to use His gifts and His talents for the Lord. His opportunity to say yes to that particular call had passed. Maybe God has called somebody here to preach. Maybe you just haven't been available. Maybe you haven't answered the call. Maybe He's knocked, but you won't open that door. You're scared to death to open that door. He's not going to knock forever. Better answer that door. If He wants to use you in that manner, better answer that door before the knocking stops. Christian, what is it that Christ is knocking on your heart's door about? You better get up and answer that door today. He says, behold, I stand at the door. He's talking about the door of your heart. This morning in our application, don't put it off, or you'll face a day when the knocking stops. We see the day when the knocking stops as He's knocking on the door of a church. We see the day the knocking stops on the door of a Christian's heart. But there's the heartbreak disaster when Christ stops knocking on the door of a person without Christ. If you sit here this morning and you have never yourself personally received Jesus Christ as Savior, I want you to understand the picture that Christ gives us of Him knocking at your heart, knocking at your life, trying to get in, wanting to get in, and you have to open the door and say yes to Jesus, and He'll save your soul. Wonderful truth. But we see several examples in Scripture of people who refuse to open the door. I can't believe it. We see in the Old Testament Pharaoh, but Pharaoh's heart hardened his heart over and over again until the knocking stopped and God quit dealing with him and he perished. We believe he's burning in hell today. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, we read of God knocking on the heart of Agrippa as Paul dealt with him. And Agrippa said to Paul, who was witnessing to him, and the Holy Spirit was knocking on Agrippa's heart, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian," Agrippa said. But almost is not altogether. And so it doesn't convert the soul nor change the destination from hell to heaven. Agrippa heard the knock that day at his door. And he arose. He went to the door to listen, but he would not open the door, and the knocking stopped. Many other verses point to this truth. In Proverbs 29 and verse 1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Again, Genesis 6:3, and this has other implications as well, but, "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man." And maybe his spirit is striving with you this morning, and he's trying to get you to receive Christ, to finally say yes to Jesus. And he's knocking, and he's trying to get your attention, but he won't always strive with you. In John 6 and verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." And so God draws us through the preaching, and God draws us through his word, and by his spirit he draws us. But we must open the door as he's drawing us. 1 John 5:16 says, "There is a sin unto death." You can wait too long, sir. You can wait too long, ma'am, teenager. You can wait too long. Matthew 12, verses 31 to 33 says that there is an unpardonable sin. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, it says that there comes a time when God turns a person over to a reprobate mind when they continue to refuse him. There's a verse in the Old Testament, I can't find it right now, but it says that Ephraim, something about Ephraim hasn't listened to me, or he won't give in to me, and he says, "Let him go." And those are sad words. Basically, it's that God has knocked, Christ has knocked at the door of somebody's heart to receive him as Savior, and they have refused to do it. They have refused his overture. If you've already heard the Savior knocking at your door, and yet have waited, pondered, made excuses, failed to answer the door and say yes to Jesus, you're in danger. Listen to me. You're in danger of never hearing him knock again at your heart's door. You may never be in another service like this where you sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit for you to get saved. This is your day. Don't pass it up. Open the door today. Because there is a day when the knocking stops and the expiration date has been reached on his offer. Here's the message this morning. The Bible message is simple. God created man and loved him. He wanted to have fellowship with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He gave them a command to obey. They disobeyed what God said, and thus severing fellowship with God. Adam passed that sinful nature on to his children and his children's children, and all the way down to us today, so that today all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know that to be true. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And so I've sinned. You have sinned. We have all sinned in the sight of God. We've broken his law, transgressed it. And if you transgress the law in one point, you're guilty of all. And that's what we've all done. Then God says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. He describes hell as a place of torment, and the fires, he calls the lake of fire the second death. And those who sin pay the consequences in hell or the lake of fire forever. However, God also tells us that he sent a fire truck. Well, I like this. I made this up. He sent a fire truck to rescue us from hell. And the fireman is Jesus. He died on the cross in our place, so we wouldn't have to suffer the second death in the lake of fire. Then God gave us a command, just like he gave Adam and Eve a command. He gave us a command. He told us to repent of our sins and receive Christ, what Christ did on the cross as payment for our sins. Amen. That's why Christ is knocking on your door. That's why he's trying to get in. He wants good for you. He wants your sins to be forgiven. He created this world. He created you. And he knows how your sins can be forgiven, and it's only through Jesus. He's offering us eternal life in heaven with him. Well, how can you receive his limited time offer? Well, it's not by baptism. It's not by good works. It's not by joining a religion or joining a church or this church. It's not by mimicking a little prayer. It's not by turning over a new leaf. Rather, you receive his offer by genuinely repenting of your sins and trusting Christ alone to save your soul. Now, when you do, something wonderful happens. He washes away all your sin. Glory to God. He washes away all your sin. And when you do, he prepares you a place in heaven. And he gives you a fresh start. Praise God. And you become a child of God in the family of God. Amen. And so you fit in now. You have a family. Jesus Christ is knocking on somebody's door this morning. But understanding this, Jesus is under no obligation to keep knocking. Did you hear me? He's knocking, but you don't know if he'll ever knock again. And he's under no obligation to keep knocking. Daniel Whittle penned these words in the 1800s. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, the chorus says. King of glory, hasten now, his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter. Here's the expiration. While you may. Because there comes a time when you may not be able to. Don't be like the man in Luke chapter 16 with whom Jesus dealt. He refused when Jesus knocked, and the knocking stopped, and when the man died, he woke up in hell. Don't be like the scribe in Mark chapter 12 to whom Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God, but he never answered the door. And therefore, we believe that he went to hell. Christ is knocking right here and right now. I close with this illustration. One night, C.H. Aiken preached to a large crowd in Bristol, England, from the text, you must be born again. Well, there was a young, brilliant, fine fellow there named Horatio Bottomley, who listened to that message with rapt attention, and he was deeply moved by that message that he needed to be born again. At the close of the message, an invitation was given to the unsaved to publicly receive Christ. And Christ was knocking on his heart's door, and bottomly thought, not I, not now, this is not for me, I'll run my own life. And he walked out of there without Christ. He never opened the door. He did run his own life. He made a fortune. He became a rich man. But when he was 63 years old in 1922, Bottomley, who exposed the crimes of others for a living, was found himself guilty of a crime and was sentenced to 7 years to prison. Another man called Captain Prayer of the Church Army visited him in prison, and he told Bottomley the story of his conversion this way as he witnessed to him. Years ago, I was in Colston Hall in Bristol when C.H. Aiken preached on the text, "You must be born again," Captain Prayer said. "I was convicted of my sin and my need of the Savior, and I accepted Christ that night. And since that memorable time, Christ has been all and in all to me." Bottomley thought deeply as he testified. Captain Prayer testified to him. Then he said, "Now, wait a minute. I too was there. I was there that night. I heard that searching message. I felt my great need of the Savior that night." And he paused. He said, "But I rejected him." And then, this is his quote, "A life without God is a wasted life." But it doesn't have to be that way, because Jesus stands at the door and knocks today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Could I ask you, with your head bowed and eyes closed, Christian, do you hear him prodding you as a believer in Christ to make him Lord and obey him? Maybe you did at one time and you got away from it and you've slipped and you're not doing what you know you could be doing, should be doing, and the Lord is prompting you to get back to a dedication to him. Maybe it's to seek forgiveness. Maybe he's prodding you, knocking on your heart's door to seek forgiveness or to forgive someone. Or maybe it's to use your talents and abilities and gifts for the Lord again. I don't know what it is, but answer that door, answer that knock today. If you sense him knocking on your heart's door, Christian, would you slip your hand up and back down and acknowledge, "God, the Holy Spirit is working on me right now"? Could I see your hand all over the building? Half a dozen, 8, 10 hands, 12 hands, more. Put them down. Are there others? I don't want to leave you out, believer. If God is prompting you, if he's knocking on your heart's door today for one of those things, why don't you open the door? His knocking may stop. Is there somebody else? I don't want to leave you out. Someone else needs to raise your hand. He's knocking on my heart's door. Then today, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, do you hear his gentle knocking? He's trying to get your attention. He wants you to come into your life. He wants to be your Savior. He's prepared to be your Savior. He's done all that's necessary. He said on the cross, "It is finished." It's your day to answer the door and receive Christ like Captain Prayer did. I wonder who would say by upraised hand that you sense Christ knocking on your heart's door to receive him as Savior. Is there somebody like that in the building? If there is, would you acknowledge that by upraised hand? Someone across the building. I'm scanning the congregation. Is there somebody like that? Then let's stand for prayer. Dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank you now for your word. And Lord, we're really grateful that you knock. Oh, God, you haven't forgotten about us. And Lord, it's a part of your grace that you would knock again today at our heart's door. Many Christians have their hands up that you're knocking for something in their life. And I pray that you'll give them the grace and the courage to follow through and open the door today. If there's one here that's lost, Lord, that they will open that door and come and receive Christ today. In Jesus' name.